Okay, we are going through John chapter 15, and from verse 1 to 11. And the topic that we have been doing is abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Now, last week we started this, and last week we went through John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Of course, we know verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And we saw this, it's a metaphor here in the New Testament. It is not taken literally as Jesus is a vine, or when Jesus said, I am the door, is not taken literally. So this is a metaphor, and we saw that last week, that the in the Old Testament, vine is represented in the Old Testament, and shows as a symbol in the Old Testament as the church there at that time, God's people. And also we saw the vine also gives a resemblance of the low nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not say, I'm an oak tree or a coconut, okay? But he says, the vine, low down, his humility, low nature of Christ. And also we saw last week, as the Father is the vine dresser. And we saw last week, Psalm, I believe, 89, that how the Father and the Son, they had a covenant together. And before the foundation of the world, God had a covenant with his Son. And also we saw the word vine, it has a significant meaning to the suffering of Christ, his death, and the cleansing blood of Christ, the grapes. So also we saw there are two branches of this, okay? And we are the branches. There are two branches. One is the true Christian that produces fruits, and the other branch are people who profess to be Christians but does not produce fruits. So they are truly unbelievers. Now also we saw pruning. We went through that a little bit last time. How does God prune? When God prunes the vine, it hurts. The same way he prunes us, our flesh. And it hurts the flesh sometimes, but it's good. And we saw that trials and hardships, difficulties, God brings in our way. And we don't like it. We like our will. But God's will is the one that needs to be done. He prunes us. And sometimes we don't understand. But at the end, it's for God's glory. Then we can say, praise God, I didn't have my way. It's his way was done. So we see this. So today we are going to go through verse 3 and 4. And it says here, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's take verse 3. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You're going to hear a lot of clean and unclean. The word clean here is clean. Okay? Even if you look into the Greek, it means clean. It means pure from dirt. It means purified. He is speaking to his disciples that they are clean by the word of Jesus Christ, what they heard. Now, let me tell you something. Now, people, nobody wants to look dirty, right? I mean, if nobody wants to look dirty because, nobody wants to come close to that person because, we don't want to get a smell and so forth like that. So nobody wants to have a fellowship with a really dirty smelling person, unclean person. Is really dirty, usually our nature doesn't want to have a fellowship. Now, in the same way, God is not talking of an external dirtiness here, He's talking of an internal cleanliness that happens in our heart. Now, if you're dirty inside, all right, how can you have a fellowship with the Almighty God? In the same way, we don't want to have fellowship with a dirty person who is married. In the same way, if we are not clean inside, how can we have fellowship with God? Because God looks at the heart. Remember, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, Jesus said to the Pharisees, who look very clean outside, and the Pharisees, who looks very clean outside, let's turn to John, Matthew 23. To you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. That's a pretty powerful statement. Okay? And here God looks at inside. And inside, when He looks, He sees them as dead man's bones. Smells bad. It's dirty. Now let me ask you a question. Then who is clean? How can a person be clean? Job said, no one is clean before God. As Job chapter 14, verse 4, he said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Not one. So we are born sinners, right? If we are born sinners, how can we be clean? There's nobody who is clean. As Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, but we all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So here, everybody is unclean before God. That means nobody can have fellowship with God. If God is holy, if He is righteous, and we are sinful, how can a sinful man be with God? It is impossible. We are born sinners. David said, behold, I was brought forth with iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So there's no way that we can be clean. So if we are unclean, how can we be cleansed? Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. 26:25, starting from 25. God's word says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, see here, how many times God said, I will, I will, I will. So, how can we be clean? How? God does the salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah realized that salvation of the Lord when he was in the belly of a fish. He didn't go to a theological school to learn that. He learned the hard way. And here we see salvation is of the Lord. That means we become clean through a second birth. Not through the first birth. The first birth we are dirty. There's a second birth. And that second birth is called regeneration or born again. And here we see the old man died. And now a new man is created in Christ Jesus. What happened at the cross? At the cross, there was a double imputation, meaning that all our sins, that's the believer's sins, were imputed or charged to Christ who was holy and righteous. At the same time, Christ's righteousness, his holiness, was imputed or charged to the believers, to us. Wow! That is amazing! Now God looks at us and he sees who? Christ! And we are clean! That's how we are clean. We are clean because we are washed in the blood of Christ. We are born again. Now, that's the only way you can be clean and be with the Holy God. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So only the born again true Christians will realize that we are unclean before God. Meaning that when you are regenerated, you will realize, man, I was bad. You know, it realizes that the fallen, it realizes that you are a sinner. The fallen man, the unbeliever, will say, I'm good. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I'm not clean. I'm pretty clean. So, you know, it's always we need to remember that it's regeneration comes first. Then comes repentance. We are talking against a lot of churches believe that repentance comes first, then comes regeneration. No, what is repentance? Repentance is godly sorrow. It is godly sorrow that brings repentance. As the godly man has what? The Holy Spirit to convict us that we are sinners. Right? The ungodly man who doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside, he doesn't want to repent because he loves to sin. He loves to sin and he likes to practice and to have the pleasure of sin. No one can say Jesus is Lord unless by the Holy Spirit. So, once we are regenerated, you will realize our sins, right? Your sins. Because Holy Spirit will show you, through the Word of God, your sins. And repentance is not a one-time act, but it is a daily act, right? We repent all the time. Now, even Prophet Isaiah, if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Here is the prophet of God. He is the prophet, the best man in town, the most spiritual man in town. And when he saw the holiness of God, this is what he says. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. The prophet speaks the very word of God. He is the man of God. He is saying, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Why did he say that? For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord. I'll tell you, the more we see through the Word of God, the Bible, the more we get into the Word of God, the more we see that we are unclean. Now, Isaiah said that. He's a prophet. He's a man of God. So here we see that when we are truly born again, that we will see that we are sinners. Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God is like a mirror. They look at it, they say, oh, man, am I dirty? It shows our uncleanliness. Think about the children of Israel. God gave them the commandments. How many times they cried out to God in repentance? Because, you know, the word of God is like a mirror to them. The more we hear the word of God, the more we see our sinful nature, right? And if anyone knew about the word of God and the knowledge of God's word, it was Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see what I'm saying is, the more you get into the Word of God, the more you see that you are the worst sinner. Spurgeon said, I quote, "I always feel inclined to take the very lowest room in my Father's house when I enter heaven. It will be to go amongst the less than the least of saints and the chief of sinners." And so when we read the Word and study and grow in the Word, we see how unworthy, how miserable, how sinful nature in us. Now, if something is really dirty in your house, you know, and you try to scrub, it's not working, and you look for the best detergent to get that dirt out, right? Now, in the same way, as when there's something dirty inside in us, the best detergent is the Word of God. There's nothing else. In Hebrews, if you turn with me to Hebrews, you will see how powerful this detergent, the Word of God, is. If you turn with me to Hebrews 4:12, I believe we have gone there many times. So let us see it again. Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Now, if you see, the Word of God is like a double-edged sword. And it says that it goes even to the hidden parts of our soul, into the marrows and the bones. And, you know, it's what Paul gives a picture of a surgeon who has a surgeon. If you go to a surgery room, the surgeon has a very bright light. Right? And also, he has a very cutting in a powerful surgical knife. Or scissors. So here we see a sharp surgeon who has a very powerful life, and he sees the most inmost parts. When he tries to see something, you know, he cuts the body, and he gets into that, and he sees all the hidden parts, and he takes that, you know, dirty pus of that has been infected, because you need to have a powerful life. And he has to be very good in surgery, and with a very sharp instrument, he takes that pus out. Right? Then when he takes that infected part out, after the surgery, the man is killed. He said, "Wow, thanks." He thanked the doctor. He said, "Wow, I'm well now. I can walk. You know, I feel better." I tell you, God's Word is more powerful than the surgeon's life, because the Word of God is so powerful. That's the light that God can see everything. And God's the double-edged sword that God has, it cuts in even to the marrows and the bones, and in man, the things that are hidden sins in us, you know, the pet sins in us that are really, you know, we have been struggling with. Sometimes God takes that knife and cuts it open, and after that we say, "Thank God." Now, God exposed those sins to us, and we say, "Thank God He removed that sin. My guilt is gone." This is how we can be so thankful. You know, Jesus, the Word of God is so powerful that His words brought dead Lazarus to life when He spoke the Word. And so we need to understand that the Word of God, it transforms lives. Look at your life. Look at my life. Look at everybody's lives. Where were you so many years ago? Jesus, when he came to minister to the sinners, and we see how prostitutes, tax collectors, thieves, murderers, they were transformed to saints. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, Lord God, He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by what? The Word. The Word is a cleanser. God regenerates us first. Then our minds that were blinded by the enemy, once we are regenerated, suddenly we open. Oh, wow. Now I understand. Man, I have sinned against God. And we repent after that. And then we cry out to God in repentance. Then we ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All is all. Cleansing. Wow. David cried out, when David sinned, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. So Jesus is speaking to the disciples that they are clean through the word which He has spoken. Yet, not all the disciples were clean. Judas was not clean. He was not regenerated. Turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 11. 13:11. Jesus said, for He knew who would betray Him, and therefore He said, you are not all clean. And here we see, if you are not born again, you may hear the word of God, but there is no effect. You may hear the truth, but the word of God has no effect. But to the true Christian, the word of God is the truth. There's nothing else. And they are being sanctified by God by hearing the word of God. The effect is they will bear fruits. John 17:17, Jesus said, John 17:17, by them, by your truth, your word is the truth. Wow. The word sanctify is the word that comes from the Greek, means separate. Holiness. That's what it is. There's a separation. Sanctify them. What is the, you know, when somebody is, it's the same word that comes, the word hagios, the same word to cut. That's the word hagios, mean to cut. Like if you see a banana, and some part is dirty, you know, it's been rotten or whatever, what do? You cut that, separate that part. Then the other one you can eat, you know. It's separation. So here we see that cleansing, you know, and this is the best cleansing is the Word of God. And it sanctifies you. It just separates you and you become a different person, and there will be much fruits that will come out of you. Yeah, the Word of God has effect. Let me tell you a story which I had told before. It's a true story where there was an English tourist or a journalist who went to Africa. And then he wanted to go to the tribes. And when he was walking along the tribes, he went to, was going in different villages. And when he was going through, and he saw this man reading a Bible in his own language. Okay, and so this guy, this Englishman who was an atheist, he made fun out of the man. And how can you read this book which is, you know, was mocking the word of God? At the same time, this man was reading his Bible, and there was a pot of big boiling water. And the man looked at the guy and said, if not for this book, you will be in this boiling hot water. It was a cannibal was made, you know, made a sign. If not for this book, you would be in this water boiling right now. He got really scared. So, there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Gospel. Let's go to John, verse 4, John chapter 15. in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The way to be spiritually clean is to be pruned, and to bear fruit is to be in Christ. There is a spiritual connection here, the branches and the vine, and to bear fruit. No, Jesus said three times the word abide here. In this one verse, three times he said abide. And Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. That means we are in him and he is in us. If we are not in him, we become dinner for the devil. That's it. Because he's like a roaring lion looking to devour somebody. But when sin says that we are under the protection of Jesus, he becomes frustrated, because he may be able to destroy our bodies, but he cannot destroy our soul. Many times there were martyrs, right? Satan destroyed his body, but the souls went to be with the Lord. Now, remember, if you remember Luke chapter 22, 31, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's what he loves to do with all of us right now. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. Wow. I'll tell you, our faith, what is our faith? If God is not in, if Jesus is not interceding for us, if he is not in us, that's absolutely, my faith is no good at all. There's nothing good in my flesh. It's amazing. It's great to know that Christ is in us. He is interceding for us. He is praying for us. He's not only a prophet, but he's a priest and he's a king. As a priest, what is the duty of the priest? He intercedes for his saints, for the people. And Jesus is our surety of our salvation. He would make sure that none is lost. And if he's not in us, we'll be all sifted like wheat, like the devil. So Christ, he lives in us. He becomes our high priest. And he intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, Romans 8:34, is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You can put your name there. Amazing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Wow. So abiding in Christ is not a ritual or a tradition or a sacramental act on our part. Many people are deceived by doing certain things. They think doing a ritual or a tradition or some kind of a sacramental act, they are abiding in Christ. But after that, when they go home, Christ is not there. It's like coming to church, you know, punching your time card and say, hey God, I'm here now, okay? Now after that, punch out and go, I'm gone now, so I can do my own thing. Now that's not abiding in Christ. We are not talking about feelings and emotions, that when you go to a certain church, you will see the dress of a priest and you say, I really feel that Jesus is here, you know. Or you will smell the incense and say, smells like Jesus is here. You know, there was a person who told me some time ago, I love to go to this church, a certain church, because the music, when I feel the music, I feel like God is here. So we're not talking about feelings and emotions. Or you can go to churches and say, they're talking in tongues and say, I feel that God is here. But we are talking about a relationship, a love relationship. Christ living in us, and we are living in Christ. That's a love relationship. It's love relationship is not of one person, but of two. It's a partnership. It's like wife and a husband, love relationship. Now let me ask you a question. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? What is the chiefest thing that we need to do? The chief end of man is to glorify God. That is to glorify God. That's why we are here. Corinthians 4:6. Apostle Paul is writing here, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the same God who in creation, He said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? And the same God said, let there be light in our hearts. And there was light in our hearts. That's what He says here. In creation, light and darkness were separated. In the same way, we were separated from the light of God. We were in darkness. And God said, let there be light now in our hearts. And suddenly, there was light. He gave the light of what? Of the knowledge of the glory of God. Wow, we didn't have any knowledge on the glory of God before, did we? Absolutely not. Knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He manifested. He's at the very Father's bosom. He manifested the Father to us. The knowledge and the glory of God. You know, if you remember, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Colossians 3:10. Paul says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. At the fall, the image of God was shattered. So was the knowledge of God. But when you are born again by the Spirit of God, it is being renewed. The word renews means renew. It means to restore to the former. New again. That is why Paul says the new man. If there's a new man, there got to be an old man. Right? There's no new man without an old man. Right? So Paul says Colossians 3:10 is to it's the Bible. Okay, Colossians 3:10. That's why he says that, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. That at the fall, that knowledge was shattered. That's why we see how Paul said, now God said, there be light. Now there was light. Now we know who God is. We know the attributes of God. And actually, if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. So, we are earthen vessels, but man, God made us a beautiful vessel. And you see, it's the beautiful vessel, all the fruits that comes is not of us, it's of God. And just like Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And if you turn into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Ephesians 4:22, let us see some of these fruits now. Ephesians 4:22, Apostle Paul said that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt and according to deceitful lust. Again we see the word in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. So when we are renewed, brought to that former position like Adam had before the fall, in the very image of God, then we see that we are created in the righteousness and in true holiness, and then our former conduct, our old behavior, we don't act according to our old behavior anymore. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things becomes new. We are new people. There's a change of behavior, and we see new fruits suddenly popping up. Right? Before, we used to get mad. Before, you know, we get jealous, we get envy, we are so selfish. Now, we see, things are changing. Now, all those things doesn't happen automatically at once when you're born again. No. There's another word called sanctification. Sanctification is a growth. Okay? It's a growth. The more you get into the Word of God, the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you get closer to Christ, the more you will sanctify, right? That's what the Word says. As Jesus said, my Word has cleansed you. So the more you get into the Word of God, the more it will cleanse you. And who wants to get more closer to Christ? There are people who doesn't want to get closer to Christ. You know why? They like their sins. I don't want to come close. There are some people who doesn't want to come closer to Christians who are really, who love the Lord, because they feel uncomfortable. So they stay away with their own clique, where they can talk backbite, talk about all the bad things and so forth like that, all what the world talks. But there are some people who love to be with, have fellowship with strong Christians. Why? Wow. Fellowship is good because it cleanses us. So, we will continue next week and the next verses. We need to understand that we died in the old nature and we have a new nature. And when we are born again, we realize that we have offended God. We have offended God means we have violated all His laws. We have violated His laws with our words that we speak, in our mind what we think, in our actions, in every way we have violated, we have offended God, and we have done our will, not God's will. And then we realize, as a new man, we say, wow, we thank God that Christ did the work for me on the cross. That now I don't have to do any plus work for my salvation. Christ did it all. He bore our sins. He did the work for us. Then we are like, man, unworthy sinners like me. Christ did it all. And then the only way we can what? Rejoice. That's all we can do. Nothing else. Salvation is a gift. We can rejoice in God. And we can delight to bring fruits for Him. And the fruits is not, the works is not the way to salvation, but the result of our salvation. And so we can rejoice and thank God. Let's pray.